Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the joy and hope which we have in our eternal destiny through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. We do have joy and hope in this life and the next. And yet, here we are on earth now with people, with situations that we have to deal with. And it's not always easy, but we get through it. We know that we each can have difficulties, and these difficulties can move us a little closer to or a little further from living in the will of God. We know God's will by reading the Bible, or by obeying the Ten Commandments, or by living the two commandments, the great commandments, which are about loving God and loving your neighbor. And we get to struggle with all those issues and consequences of the decisions we make. All sorts of decisions. And they all have an effect. Like, why does gasoline in California cost, on average, $3.30 per gallon, while the rest of our nation pays $2.80 per gallon? Well, decisions were made, sometimes by the people and sometimes by the politicians. And then, in some combination, we get the results. And sometimes those results don't seem to follow logic. And I suppose it's because we are directed by a combination of reason and emotion. So the results are uncertain. This makes it kind of a mishmash all around us. We have questions. We have situations. Oh, let's see. Sometimes I wonder about them, like the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. They report that there are more deaths due to drugs and alcohol than ever before. And I wonder why. I wonder what in this world is so difficult to deal with that we need the drugs and the alcohol. Is it the smartphones that are too complex? Is it the taxes that are just too high? Is it the threat of disease or the threat of war that are just too much to deal with? And do we want to return to a simpler time and a simpler life where we don't have our entertainment and our communication to deal with? Well, we do want the benefits of modern living, like abundant food. Yeah, we sure don't want to grow our own food, do we? Huh, it's kind of a dilemma. It's kind of a dilemma to think about what we really want. I think pretty much all of us don't want that simple life when we think about it, because we don't want to be a farmer. We want the comfort and the timeliness of our benefits that we have now as we go through life. But modern living, that has some other complications. For instance, there was a Rand Corporation analysis, and this was reported in True News a few days ago. But that Rand Corporation analysis said that the U.S. has lost nearly every World War III war games simulation against Russia or China. And that would be if the war was on land, on sea, in space, or in cyber domains. So what does that mean? It's the opposite of a simple, easy living of a farmer. It's modern living. And this Rand Corporation analysis showed massive losses of life and equipment and a complete failure to achieve American objectives if there was a World War III. So what does all this mean to our life? Well, it means that we have to look at what it is we really want. The analysis does show that we have a very capable military, and yet there are problems involved with all of this. There are problems all over our nation, and we seem to think we can throw money at the problems and solve those problems. Well, money is an important factor, but the hearts and minds of our soldier and of each citizen is much more important. Really, there's nothing more fundamental to every, and yes, I mean every aspect of our life, than our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus is our rock, our foundation. And it's upon these Christian principles of Jesus that our nation was made strong. And surely pouring money into a problem area, yes, it does help a lot, but it does not solve any problem at its foundation. And for instance, just look at the area of our public education, our school system. Out of the whole world, America spends a lot more money on average for each student than any other country. But out of the whole world, the test scores show that America is near the bottom of the world's list of test results in every category. So, here we are trying to solve a problem by spending a lot of money on it. And that just shows you, spending money does not guarantee good results. And that's the kind of question I have about the way we live, or the way our military is. See, with our military is important, and perhaps it will be more important in the coming days. Our military may have to defend our country and not defend the rest of the world. Well, how can we not think of war events with all that is going on around us? Look at the events in the world. War could certainly affect us. It could affect us dramatically. And the Bible tells us that at the end of the age, there will be wars and rumors of war. And it surely does look like we are in those days. 2 weeks ago, there were military actions between India and Pakistan. And then just a couple of days ago, Pakistan's Prime Minister Khan announced that his country would attack India or any other country which attacks them, and that Pakistan would fight to maintain its independence until its last breath. So that's one thing that's going on in the world. And a week ago, Syria threatened to attack the Israeli soldiers in the Golan Heights. That was if Israel did not withdraw its troops from the Golan Heights. See, there's rumors of war. We know about North Korea. Well, it's been in the news anyway. North Korea continues to be an uncertain problem as they continue their missile construction and even their intercontinental ballistic missiles. No doubt China and Russia will use this tension to promote their own interests. That's normal. That's expected. Yep. Do you remember about a year ago, both China and Russia warned the United States that if the United States militarily moved against North Korea without North Korea having attacked the United States, then they both would defend North Korea militarily. So there we have it again. Rumors of war, just like the Bible predicted. It would be far easier to stand as a strong and independent nation if our country was not divided. But we are divided. We're divided socially and politically, and we see the evidence of it here and there. Last week, the representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said, "The United States is 10% better than garbage." Yeah, she said that at the South by Southwest conference in Texas. It's hard to believe that anyone could say this. Yeah, the world is, there's so many things going on in the world today. We have situations. We have the best place to live in the United States. Let's see. In 1989, my old mother, well, she's deceased now, but she went to Afghanistan for 8 days. And she stopped here and there on that long, it was a bus tour. And she stopped here and there. And when she told me about her trip, she said that during those 8 days that she was in Afghanistan, that she never saw an Afghan woman. She only saw men who walked around in public, and not one single woman in 8 days. So the world is not what we expect. It is not the United States. And the world is a different place, and we just have to realize that. Well, Afghanistan has changed a lot, but there's still some basics with it. I think that the American influence has affected it. We've been there since 2001, and you know that Afghanistan is our nation's longest war ever. Yeah, the United States has been there for 18 years. Do you think we will ever get out of that war? Or do you think we will ever win that war? Or are we just going to occupy Afghanistan? Well, I don't know, but it sure has been an expensive war for us to be in. Many billions of dollars each and every year. So, in our country, we have events. In the world, we have events. We can see the divisions all over the place. Divisions economically, politically, and more important, spiritually. Those divisions are here at home, and they are also among the nations. It's an odd little mixture of unity and division that we have. Well, there was a Mormon publication called the Deseret News, and it reported that Pope Francis spoke well about the Mormon Church and its opening a Mormon temple in Rome. that the Pope said, because Mormons and Catholics are concerned with protecting religious rights and young people, and also protecting family values and opposing secularism. Very interesting. Unity and division. It's very interesting. And by the way, that temple in Rome would serve the 25,000 Mormons in the area of Rome. Well, of course, I wonder about all the events in the world, and I wonder about this one. I wonder if the Pope is constructing the foundation for a unified one-world church. And what would happen to that one-world church? Well, there's indications that the Antichrist will head that church. It's a great big question, isn't it? So much we have to ponder. To that kind of a position or a question, we can't say yes or no, but we can seek understanding and look at the events that are happening in the day and recognize what is going on around us as best we can understand. We can't see the secret things. We can't see the people who are involved in the secret plans. But we know kind of what to look for because we have a guidebook that is called the Bible. And it tells us that there are many areas in life which will be unified under one authority. Yeah, the authority of the Antichrist. And I know there's so many people who think about being raptured before we have any tribulation difficulties. Yeah, so many Christians are so sure that we Christians will not be here on earth to witness those difficulties. To them, well, they're just so sure. Some Christians are sure that we will not be here to witness those difficulties or tribulations. And some Christians are so sure that we will be here to witness them. So, which opinion is correct? Yeah, it's interesting because both positions use various scriptures to support what they believe. Well, I kind of think if we were to be raptured before that tribulation time, I think that the food and supplies that we have would then be used for someone who needed our food and supplies to live. But if that rapture occurs much later, then I think we would live a little longer on our food and supplies here on earth, and we would be able to share the hope that we have in Jesus with others. And we could share our food also. Yep. So we don't know exactly what our future holds. We get all sorts of indicators, but for knowledge, no, we don't know. We certainly don't even know if there's going to be one huge volcano or one nuclear war or one electromagnetic pulse, and our electricity is lost. What, for months or for years? We wouldn't be able to figure that one out, but the threat is sure there. So if we didn't have electricity, well, all of our stored food would be so very appreciated. Yep. Then what would we do? Well, we can look at the history and see if it's a reasonable thing to get those preparations. Because we do have natural disasters, and we do know at the end of the age, as described in the Bible, there will be famine, and I think the answer is to store food for that just in case. Now, no one can really prove whether your supplies and food will be needed or not needed, but look at history. look at what has gone on in the world and look at what is going on in the world today. And of course, there's plenty of examples in the Bible. Look at what the Bible says about storing up supplies, storing up food. Well, I could tell you all about it, but it sure is better if you're the one who looks, because you have to be the one that sees it. And then you will be able to act on it. But there's a benefit to doing something, because we also get consequences from everything we do. And if you're prepared to meet whatever difficult times there are, you'll get consequences. And if you're not prepared, same thing. You'll get the consequences. Now, it's not just you that will get the consequences, but it will be the people around you, the people who you're responsible for, the people who you love. And when hard times do eventually come along, well, it's not an easy thing to think about, but if we think in advance, we have a chance to do something about it. I suppose that's why some weeks ago I spoke about Holocausts in history of different peoples and genocide in history of different peoples. That was on February 16th. On that Christ Today broadcast of February 16th. I know that it's not an easy subject to look at, but I just had to talk about it. Because there's signs of the big changes in the world. So, yes, I'm concerned about all sorts of different things, big and small, all sorts of things. Because, well, let's go back a few years. For many years of my life, I was just plain comfortable, and I didn't see any need to prepare. And I didn't. But in the last few decades, my experience has been that I saw people in need, and I saw that there were times when I couldn't buy what I needed from the store. Sometimes the stores were closed for one reason or another. Sometimes they were out of supplies. And well, anyway, as time went on, I saw that there were shortages and emergencies and civil disturbances and even riots. And the stores would indeed close. And so you could not get what you needed. Also, it happened several times that I was in a store, and the electricity went off while I was in the store. When that happened, the employees came around and politely told the shoppers to just leave their carts and exit the store. That, don't worry, the employees would put everything in your cart back where it came from. But they had to leave, we customers had to leave the store right away. So, if there was an electrical grid down event, well, we couldn't buy things. The cash registers would not work. And so, of course, there would be no transactions either for cash or for credit. So just think, no electricity and nothing can be bought or sold. Well, surprises do happen. And I think it would be a good idea to get some food and supplies together. And as I saw the troubles, that's what I did. So in recent years, I did reflect on what the Bible would foretell, does foretell of what will happen. And so my concerns grew. And I bought the regular supplies of grains and sugar, salt, and oil. Flavorings and vitamins and a cast iron Dutch oven with a lid. Well, there's a few more plain and basic items that I got, and I think everyone has their own list of what to get in the event of an emergency. And sure, get a few of the basics. Get rice and beans, tuna and peanut butter. Really, your list could go on and on, but whatever it is, have a look at it. Make your own list with your own likes and dislikes. That's really the answer. Now, I've heard more than a few people say that if we prepare and store up, we are not trusting God to provide. That's what they say. But again, I say, look at the Bible and realize the consequences of your decisions for you and your family. How do you balance it out? The needs and the potential consequences for you and your family? And what about the love your commandment? Love your neighbor commandment. Yeah, I say just pray about it. How do you deal with your food and supplies? Good question. Well, 200 years ago, what was it like? Well, at that time, 200 years ago, nearly everyone was a farmer. And that's just what was necessary to live. Everybody had to have a farm or do farming. But now, with the age of industrialization, food has become plentiful. And we don't know anything else today. That's our experience. But in those days, hundreds of years ago, people still had to ration their food so that their supply of grains would last just for the normal food supplies, or for helping a neighbor. And they also had to save their grain so they could plant it in a following year. Now, it does make a little bit of trouble to grasp the concept of what food to keep for your own family and what food or grain to save to be planted. Well, it's just a bunch of questions, and it's for each one of us to figure out. You also have to consider what happens if that next year crop fails due to insects or freezing weather or drought. Then you have to have still more of a supply of wheat or some other grain to plant. So it's a matter for each of us to examine. Is there one answer? I don't know, but just consider these things for if there is an emergency situation. There's just lots of questions to ask. Some years back, I went to a Christian event, and as I walked around it, I was handed a piece of paper. And that piece of paper was titled, Why Should Christians Stockpile? Well, it was an interesting paper. Not perfect, but I still liked the general presentation. The paper did not have an author, and it did not talk about what that person's religious affiliation was. And now I'll take some time to just skim over that little paper and review it. The Bible quotations in it are mostly King James, but he did use a couple other ones just to make his quotations more clear. So here we go. Why should Christians stockpile? Long-term food storage is an ancient biblical wisdom. Storing dehydrated food is taught in the book of Proverbs, where the term roasteth is used to describe the drying of meat for preservation. Proverbs 12:27 says about the slothful man who roasteth not that which he took in hunting. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. It also says in Proverbs 21:20, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all that he has. So, in the end time, what they are calling the end time, well, we can call it end time too, because it is. But in the end time, it gives our food storage even greater significance. The end time was foreshadowed by the famine of Joseph's day. God told Joseph to store food 7 years in advance to provide food during the coming 7-year famine. That's Genesis 41:36. And that food shall be stored to stand against the 7 years of famine. Food storage was also done before Noah's flood of Genesis 6:21, as Noah did all according to what God commanded him. So he did. And what about our present day? Someday our Bible predicts catastrophes to occur. Isaiah 26:20 says that we ought build shelters and to shut the doors and hide thyself. Okay, well, you might note that these were similar to the instructions given to Moses before the angel of death passed over Egypt. The idea is to have good shelter. And it's not a bad idea when you consider Matthew 24:7, where it says, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Wars, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. So, have food and share food. And that seems to be what Matthew 24:45 is about when it talks about servants in his household are to give food at the proper time. And then there is a concern which so many Christians have. It's the mark of the beast. As under the one world government, without which no one can either buy nor sell. Well, goes into that too. Revelation 13:16, and he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. And then there's Revelation 14:9. The third angel said in a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without measure into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. I have to pause here and interrupt my reading and say that there's so many people who reject this idea, or they reject God because they cannot understand that God would actually torment people. Well, the Bible says everyone has a choice. You can choose to faithfully follow God through Jesus Christ, And then there is no torment. With that decision, there is only what is called heaven. You have a choice, and I have a choice. We all have a choice to choose the truth of Jesus or to choose to go your own way and do what you want. Yeah, isn't that what Satan did? He made his own choices and went his own way. The Bible says we can each choose. So what do you choose? God's knowledge and wisdom with and through Jesus Christ? Or do you choose your own knowledge and wisdom? And what about proof? How do we prove something or not prove something? What makes it true? Where's the proof? I see that the proof is demonstrated by the Bible. It's also demonstrated by intellectuals, and it's demonstrated through history. But we each have a choice. Do we believe it, or do we not believe it? Yeah, I urge you to believe it. Look at the truth of the Bible, and then live your choice. Live the truth of the Bible. So, back to that handout, which I am skimming through. It talks about how the beast is filth, and filth comes through the television and electronic media, and it pollutes God's people. It pollutes everybody. And you want to be prepared so that you can endure till the end and shall be saved. That's Matthew 10:22. The article says food storage is a critical part of enduring till the end. They give another scripture, Luke 12:47, which talks about a servant who knew his Lord's will to prepare, but the servant did not prepare, and the servant was well be beaten with many stripes. Well, the handout continues. Will the rapture rescue you from tribulation? And will the rapture, the concept of the rapture, take away your responsibility to overcome the mark? Well, that means living in the time when the mark is required. That's an interesting concept. So is that why we are having so many Christians who are not doing anything to prepare? It might be. It's easier not to. The rapture doctrine is an example of not doing anything because we will be raptured. Well, I'll continue. Matthew 24:29-32. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. Okay. Also consider 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So notice that the rapture takes place at the last trump. Now, in the book of Revelation, the last trump is described as after the tribulation is over. Revelation 20, 4 through 6 is about receiving thrones and also those beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the Word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark in or on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. See? So based blessed and holy are they who have a part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. See, there's only one rapture, not two. So the writer says there cannot be a pre-tribulation rapture. Yeah, the writer continues, nothing has done more to dissuade believers and prevent them from having tribulation preparedness than the false doctrine of a pre-tribulation rapture. Television, even Christian television, has greatly promoted the concept of a pre-tribulation rapture. That writer calls on each of us to purify our lives and remove things such as the television from our homes and to come out of Babylon and to refuse to be numbered by the beast system and instead to be self-reliant, independent from the world, and interdependent upon the Lord and his people. And the writer says a part of this is to grow and to store our own food supplies. Well, that is one person's opinion. I did not write that paper. But the listeners will probably realize that I am sympathetic to that reasoning and that conclusion. I would not agree completely with that writer, but that direction of thought I am sympathetic to. I suppose that that was written over 25 years ago. Now, at that time, there were plenty of distractions available. And today, there are even more distractions. Oh, sure, the TV, but look at what's on the TV. And look at our electronic devices. Yes, there's so many more effective distractions which confront us today. Besides the distracting devices, there are real-life changing situations, and some of them are real threats which can strike us personally, or they can strike our society and our nation. Yeah, I think today there are more distractions, really, and more serious ones. Now, today, what do we face? We face ordinary troubles, lots of them. Just plain old life things like store closures, where jobs are lost. It happens to our friends and our family and sometimes to us. Or there are extraordinary problems too, like if there was a cyber blackout or if there was an electrical blackout. It could be for days or a whole lot longer. And I think back to that the President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council. That was in conjunction with FEMA, and that report says that they advise all citizens to prepare for being without electricity for 6 months or more or less. I tell you, that's really quite impossible for me to conceive, except, sure, I look at it, but to really think about it, it's tough. Anyway, no electricity for 6 months, they talk about. Because what that means is no gasoline, no groceries, no water, no services, medical or emergency services. And that's really what they're talking about. You have a chance to check out all these things now while you can. You can look these things up for yourself. There's a lot of information that's available. But of course, if you don't look, you'll never see. So have a look. Look at that report. Look at a lot more. We do have things happen. These days, there's plenty of rain here and there in the world. There's plenty of snow in unusual, abnormal places for it to snow. The floods are in many nations in places that have never been flooded, to as far as we know. But they're happening now in these days. It just hasn't happened in our neighborhood, but it's happened to people in many, many parts of the world. We have real concerns. Again, things that have happened in other parts of the world, but they have not happened here in a big way. Like hyperinflation. Hyperinflation has gone on in many, many countries. And those countries have had their currency fail also. We could have our currency fail in the United States. And the debt, our national debt, and our debt on every level of society is making it more of a possibility every single day. There are lots of unknown situations that could happen. Sure, the cyber, the electric, the snowstorms and floods, all these things could have an amazingly huge impact on our food, on our crop yields. All these things are still possible to happen. We do not have a reserve of food, either in this country or in the world. But things can happen that would take our food away and famine would come. We could have cold weather. We could have hot weather. We could have insect damage. All these things are possible. And then vast numbers of people would suffer from a famine or that sort of a thing. And events are happening in the world which they seem to not have happened before. I think it's pretty obvious that supplies and preparations could help people to get through hard times. And that's, we know if we read, there have been plenty of people in hard times. We have it one way or another today, all over. And you look at the headlines and the news, and what do you see? You see, well, there's been the opiate crisis that has been in the news kind of a lot lately. And that affects so many segments of society. And you've heard about the widespread suicides that have seemingly increased. just lately, there's been that 23-year-old Olympian who did. It's an epidemic in a sense. You've heard about China, that they chemically seeded their clouds so that China gets the rain, which normally falls in the Philippines. Now, that's been an accusation that's been made before, but it could be true. I wouldn't be surprised. These are troubles in the news. Troubles could happen here. But there is good news also. The good news is that Jesus paid the price for our sins and that we can be forgiven of our sins by confessing Jesus and repenting. Forgiveness and salvation is a free gift. We simply have to accept that free gift. And then we let God transform our life. It's wonderful, isn't it? Yes, it is. See, there's good news too. There was another headline that I saw a week ago. It was that physicists reverse time by using a quantum computer. Those are those quantum computers that are said to be 1,000 times faster than a standard mainframe computer. They're doing so many calculations with those quantum computers they never could do before because it would take so long. So it's kind of a revolutionary concept. Anyway, I read this article about reversing time, and it took place at the Moscow Institute of Physics and Technology. Russia teamed up with colleagues from the United States and Switzerland to perform this experiment. The article said it happened for just a fraction of a second, the time went backwards. Now, I am inclined to believe this article because it was an international team, but I know that in the past, the evidence shows that the Soviets have lied about their achievements. I have this understanding from reading books and from my cousin, who was a physics professor at the University of Cologne for many decades. And she lectured to many groups all around the world in other countries, including in Russia. Numerous times, actually, because they were interested in getting knowledge and technology. So they invited people from many walks of life to help them to achieve what they wanted. So anyway, my cousin, she spoke there numerous times. Now, that was 20 and more years ago, so it's not current information. But from what I have seen, the way people have their tendencies and their habits, and countries have those tendencies and those habits, the things tend to continue as they have been. So I think it would be the same that Russia, lies, or at least exaggerates their achievements and the things that they do. But did they reverse time? Is that something that a quantum computer did? It sure is possible, like I said, because it was an international team that came up with this in response and said that. But what does that mean for us? Reversing time? Are we kind of getting into God's arena? And will God allow it to continue, or will He stop man from doing such a thing? Well, it's a very good question, and I think it's something we all would do well to ponder, just to see what's going on in our world, what does it mean? Of course, what I think of is, will God judge the world because of the great sin at so many places, that we are not following God's will. We're doing what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. God gives us a chance to belong to Him and to receive His protection and His everlasting life in heaven. But we have a choice. We have to choose Jesus, or we choose to follow our own ways and our own logic, our own decisions. Pretty simple choice. What do we choose? Because if we choose God and Jesus, we have life eternal and in that heavenly place. And if we choose to follow our own selves, our own logic, then we go to that other place. So I say, choose Jesus. Yes, indeed I do. There are things that are in our world and we have decisions to make. We ought to listen to what's going on, be cautious, and make choices that are biblical and God-oriented. There are always broadcasts that I have done which you can go back to, and they are available at www.christtoday.org. www.christtoday.org. Now that's all lowercase and no spaces. And of course, you can always write me with a question or an observation, or if you want my preparedness pamphlet, I would ask you to send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and then I will send you my thoughts on natural disaster preparedness. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. So thank you for listening, and until next week, may you walk with God, and may God